Hello, this is Jim Richardson. I'm talking to you this month about the God of the Impossible. Man, that has just been rolling around inside me so much in recent months, but particularly in recent days. And I don't think it's just for you. I think that everything that I share with you every month in our World Changer message is really just something that God is speaking to me, and I'm just passing it along to you. I'm letting you eavesdrop on a conversation between me and God. You know, God is the God of the impossible. And for many of us, whenever we came out of whatever background we came out of, whether it be Word of Faith or Pentecostal or Charismatic or whatever background we came out of, I think that so many of us were so burnt out. On trying to get miracles. I think that some people that have come into the message of grace have really just given up on the whole idea of the miraculous. I don't think that many of our people have, but I see that with a lot of people. In fact, I see that with a lot of the people who go into some of the extreme destructive concepts of grace. They're so disappointed with what they saw in the past that they just gave up on all of it. And man, that is always such a terrible mistake. You know, you never want to throw out the baby with the bathwater. You never want to come to the place to where you reject some part of Scripture just because of the abuses that you have seen. And, you know, I really think that as we establish our hearts in grace and really keep ourselves open to God, I honestly think that we become the people who really have the greatest potential to live in the miraculous. Because after all miracles start in the heart. You know, I was thinking this morning, I was out playing with my dog this morning, and, you know, I had that feeling, and it's a kind of a transitional feeling. It starts out as just the feeling of thankfulness. You just feel thankful for your day, or you feel thankful because you've got health, or you feel thankful for your spouse, or you feel, you know, whatever it is. But you notice that sometimes that thankfulness just kind of transitions into a sense of optimism. And man, I love that. If anybody should be optimistic, believers should be optimistic. I'm telling you, we should be people that turn every corner expecting to meet God face to face right around the corner, that we expect to find the solution to our situation around the next bend. And so I always love it when I have that kind of abiding sense of optimism. But then sometimes that optimism goes to something I think that frustrates us, and that is it kind of goes to the feeling of being on the verge of something happening. And I'll tell you, if you live on the verge of something happening, but you don't see something happening, after a while, you really will get frustrated, and you'll begin to doubt yourself, you'll begin to doubt God. But you know something, I was thinking about this morning, I was thinking, you know, I believe something is happening. I may not be able to identify it, but I believe something wonderful is happening. I think that feeling of being on the verge of something happening is a feeling that we get when something is already happening in us or around us, and we just can't see it and we can't identify it. So our mind tends to tell us it's something that really hasn't happened yet. And I tend to lean more toward this idea that when I'm feeling on the verge of something, it's something that God is already doing in me, through me, with me, around me, somewhere, and I'm sensing it, and I just can't see it. And you know what? There are so many miraculous things that God does around us, in us, through us, that really we don't even see them. There are so many things that God prevents or protects us from that we don't really see. So the next time you're feeling that I'm on the verge of something, just begin to acknowledge and worship God and thank God that something's happening that's beyond what you can see right now. Because, you know, God's a good God. Every day we've got a reason to get up and bless the name of the Lord God. Every day we've got a reason to get up and be thankful. But I want to encourage you to capture and cultivate every sense of excitement, optimism, and thankfulness that comes up inside you. You know, I believe that the days of some of the most phenomenal miracles in the world are upon us and in the future. As a matter of fact, there's miracles happening in the world you're never going to hear about. You know, now it's so hard. The news media would certainly never cover a miracle like they might have, 75 years ago or 50 years ago. But even then, they didn't cover them very much. But I believe there are miracles happening. You know, I'm hearing testimonies of Muslims that are in prison or somewhere in the world that are crying out to God. And I'm talking about radical Muslims that are killing Jews and Christians and crying out to God from their heart and saying, you know, if you're real, I want to know you, and having experiences. They're having supernatural visitations from the Lord Jesus. You know, I believe all over the world, phenomenal things are happening. And I really believe that as we continue to develop our heart in grace, I really, really believe that the miraculous will become more and more second nature to us. It won't become some phenomenon that we're trying to work up. It won't become the rare exceptional situation that we're trying to make happen, as much as it will become something that is as natural to us as breathing. God is the God of the supernatural. Stop and think about it. You know, I believe in the creation, that God, the creator, in his account of creation. There may be things in creation that we don't understand because the Bible didn't explain all aspects of it in detail. It gave us what we needed to know. But you know something? I still believe in creation the way the Bible teaches it. And I believe, of course, I believe science supports it. And the science that I look at and read does support the creation according to the Word of God. See, I believe in the Creator. I believe that we're dealing with the Creator of all things. I believe that He is El, the God who reveals Himself by His name. I believe every name of God is absolutely who He is. I believe Jehovah Rophi, the Lord God that healeth, is manifest through the cross of Christ more dynamically than any place else, in the resurrection of Jesus, and that we're in Him, and we're raised up in the newness of life. I believe in that. I believe in the God of peace manifesting in peace. I believe in the God that Abraham served, and the miraculous ways that God delivered Abraham and his family, and the way that God delivered Lot from Sodom. I believe in the God who made the sun stand still whenever Joshua was battling, and Moses held his arms up so that the battle could be won that day. I believe in the God of Elisha. I believe in the God of Elijah. I believe in the God of the miraculous. I believe in the God that can give us prophecies and insights and manifestations of knowledge and wisdom to make decisions that are far beyond our comprehension. I believe in every miracle of the Lord Jesus. And I've seen most of them. You know, and maybe you haven't, but that doesn't mean they're not true. You know, one of the things back in the 70s and 80s, when I was really struggling for my life with kidney disease, I had this inward struggle going on. The struggle was I'm not getting healed. Maybe I need to stop telling people about healing. Maybe I need to stop encouraging people to believe in the miraculous. And I'll never forget reaching a decision. And the decision was this: just because I'm not experiencing it right now does not mean it's not true. And I am not going to change, pervert, or deny the Word of God just because of my personal experience. And, you know, and I would preach healing. If somebody criticized me and said, well, what about you? You know, you're not healed right now. You know, I'm like, you know what? The Word of God is true, whether I'm experiencing it or not. And, you know, the amazing thing was, you know, I can look back to many people who got healed when I would pray for them or lay hands on them, and I didn't. And you know something? That was one of the factors I really believe that determined me ultimately coming into my own miracle and coming into my own healing. And, you know, most of you know this, from 1983 until 2005 or 2007, whatever year it was, I was in this automobile accident. I never had any kidney problems. I tell you, God's healing was sure for me. And in actuality, I have since discovered that most of the kidney problems that I had after that, they were pushed. You know, I was pushed over the line just by the impact of this automobile accident. But most of what I was struggling with was because I was drinking tea, if you want to know the truth. You know, tea, just regular old black tea, not herbal tea, but just regular black tea like Americans drink, you know, Lipton and just these various kinds of teas that we drink. They are more damaging for the kidneys than almost anything. So when I stopped drinking tea altogether and stopped eating chocolate, even dark chocolate, and I didn't realize this, the tea and dark chocolate has an element in it that causes blockage in the kidneys. And so when I stopped that, my kidney infections that had started back after the automobile accident, they stopped. So, you know, here I am still all these years later should have died way back when, and I'm alive. Man, I'm telling you something. I'm thankful for that. And, you know, you may have gone through that. You may have had a miraculous healing. You may have outlived some disease, and you're alive today. I want to tell you something. I always tell people Western medicine was so good at keeping me alive while I gave God time to work in my heart so that I could experience the miraculous. Man, just rejoice and acknowledge God. And if you're not experiencing something that you need to be experiencing in the way of health and healing, I want to encourage you, don't throw away God's promise just because you're not experiencing it. God's promise, God's miraculous power that works in us is intricately linked to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. That is the ultimate proof of the miracle working power of God. And I'm going to tell you, to the degree that we throw away our confidence in other things, you know, the miraculous and healing and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, to the degree that we throw away any promise of God, to some degree, we are undermining our confidence in the resurrection of Jesus and what happened through that resurrection. Listen, I want to encourage you, expect a bigger, more powerful things to happen in your life. And don't, you know, we don't have to do like we did back in the 70s and 80s where we're out trying to make things happen. I'm going to tell you something. You're just going to look around one day and you're going to realize that you're the man or the woman in the room who feels confident to pray for the sick person that's there. You're going to realize that you are the man or the woman in the room who has a sense of what God is saying for a particular situation. And it won't be a matter of you trying to make the miraculous happen. It will just be a matter of you being available, and because your heart is established in grace. And grace is God's ability. And, you know, to some degree, the word grace comes from the Greek word charis. And the word that we use for gifts of the Holy Spirit, which I think is a very, very poor translation, its root word is charis. That's where the word charisma comes from, or charismatic comes from. And the gifts are the charisma, the charismata of God, which means that the gifts themselves are really just manifestation of God's grace, God's ability, God's strength working through you, through me, through whoever. And so the more you establish your heart in grace to overcome sin, the more you establish your heart in grace to take on your new identity, the more you establish your heart in grace to conquer the works of the flesh, the more you establish your heart in grace in just the daily things, the more you're going to find that when it's time for the supernatural, when it's time for God to use somebody, you're going to be the person whose heart is ready to be used. And I'm going to tell you something, the days that lie ahead, I am just so convinced that in the days that lie ahead, we're going to really see the fulfillment of what Jesus said when he said, you know, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater than these. I am convinced that the greatest days of miracles are upon us and ahead of us. But I'm convinced that we really don't realize what that's going to look like. And that if we try to make it look like what we saw in the past, it's probably not going to happen. We're going to mess it up. Remember, when God is trying to do something in you, and when you're fully committed to Him, the number one problem, the number one prohibitor, is that we try to control the process. We try to make it look like what we think it should look like. You know, in all of my years of moving in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and to be honest, I move in the word of knowledge quite often. I see things. I have insight. And, you know, I never go up to people and say, I've got a word from God for you. The truth is, I'll share it in conversation and just say, you know, what do you think about this? And sometimes I might say, I'm kind of sensing this. How do you see it? Because I began to see that whenever you went up to somebody and said you had a word from the Lord, that really just did not work all that well. So moving in the gifts of the Spirit for me has never looked like what I saw in church. I didn't feel comfortable with that. It felt very artificial. As a matter of fact, I used to teach our residential Bible school students, you know, when you're moving in a gift of the Holy Spirit in church, if it looks any different from the way you would do it in Walmart, then basically you're just trying to act spiritual. Now, that may be an extreme statement, but I really believe the gifts of the Holy Spirit should work so practically in our lives that we could do it very conversationally in Kroger's or Walmart or Publix or whatever grocery store you go to or in the mall, and it wouldn't look like you, it wouldn't stir up a big religious stink, if you know what I'm saying. Man, I'm telling you what, don't try to figure out how God's going to do it. Don't try to figure out what it's going to look like, but just make up your mind that you are available. You know, there's an exercise that I teach, and where I teach you right before you go to bed every night to about 15 minutes before you go to sleep to write out something, make it positive, personal, and present tense. And I always, for some reason, I always feel inclined to write it out three times. You know, if I'm trying to work through a personal problem, then right before I'm going to sleep, I'll write out what's supposed to happen or, you know, based on the Word of God. For example, I might say, you know, I have all wisdom and I have creative ideas and I'm finding the solutions to this situation, you know, something like that. Or I may, I think I shared this with you, where through one period of time, I would write out every night just as I was getting sleepy. So you want to do it when you're getting sleepy, so it influence your dreams. But I would write out, I thank you, Father, that I am drawing to me the people to help me solve the problems that I face and the ability to recognize them. And, you know, and I did that, and it was something like 68 days. I did that every single night. And then suddenly one night I started to write it, and I just knew I didn't need to do it anymore. And within a week of that last night, a friend, someone I'd met years ago that I actually barely knew, but I had just been kind to them, they contacted me, and they had a new business going where they were doing some consulting. And we did a little project together, and they did it for free. The guy did it for free. He just wanted to be a blessing to me. And our ministry income went up over 50% in less than a month. Man, that was pretty phenomenal. And so I'll do this quite often. And, you know, you might do something like this. You know, you might begin to write, I thank you, Father, that I move freely in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Or you might even get more specifically, I thank you that, you know, the words that I say always come to pass. Or you might say, when I lay hands on the sick, they're always healed. And then something I like to do, and you don't really have to do this to make it work, but what I like to do is just as you're going to sleep, just imagine yourself doing whatever it is that you're believing God to do. You know, this is what I did before I ever preached a crusade, before I went overseas. I used to go to sleep at night imagining myself standing up on a platform in front of thousands of people and watching people get healed and watching all of these miracles happen. Well, you know, one day that came to pass, and I found myself standing on a platform in a jungle in the Philippines, and thousands of people were getting saved and healed and delivered and really saw every miracle in the New Testament. So, you know, you might just start every night just writing something down. The Holy Spirit moves freely through me, and I move in the miraculous, something like that. And just do it every night until you don't feel inclined to do it anymore. And then don't worry about what happens. But I'll tell you what will be happening, because you do that just before you go to sleep, it'll start influencing your dreaming. And you'll start having dreams, and they'll usually be symbolic. You'll start having dreams in the middle of the night that are symbolic, where you envision yourself doing whatever it is that you wrote down. By the way, when you write that down, write it in cursive and longhand. And then you might find yourself having some wild, crazy dreams in the morning that you think, oh man, why am I dreaming about something like that? Well, usually that's symbolic of something you're releasing from your heart or from your mind or from your being in order to make it possible for what you want to happen to come to pass. And this is just one of the many ways that God can work through you, and the way He designed us to work. Dreams are powerful, man. And so just do this and get yourself in a position where you are ready for the supernatural, where you are ready for God to use you in any situation. Like I said, where you're the person in the room that feels the confidence to lay hands on somebody, or you're the person in the room that has the word of knowledge, or you're the person in the room that feels inclined to pray about a situation. You know something? We're in tornado season here in Huntsville right now. And we have two times a year where we tend to come into tornado season, and it can be anywhere from November up into early January, because it'll be hot and cold and hot and cold. And then we have it again over in about March and April. And, you know, I remember back in 1974 when I was in a room full of people, and one of the worst tornadoes in American history was on the ground, and I think at that time broke nearly every record for how long it stayed on the ground, and it was coming toward the house that I was in. And, you know, I was the person in the room that felt inclined to walk into the backyard and look at that tornado and speak words of faith, so that tornado jumped over our house. It didn't hit the house that we were in. It hit houses all around us. And I'm not trying to magnify myself, but so many times I have been that person that suddenly felt like I had the word of knowledge, or suddenly felt like, you know, I should pray about the situation or lay hands on somebody. And, you know, you should be that person, or you could be that person. And just prepare your heart, because the God of the impossible is in you, and He has the power to make all things possible in you, through you, with you, so that everything you could imagine about God's blessings coming on people can come on them, and you can be the instrument to do it. Remember, we are vessels. We are earthen vessels. We have a treasure in this vessel. And inside you, man, you're like a nuclear reactor. Inside you, you're carrying all of the power that created all that exists. Inside you, you're carrying around all of the power that healed every person under Jesus' ministry, every person under anybody's ministry that's ever healed anybody. That power is housed inside of you. And you can be the person who lets it start flowing out of you. You know, this month, I just want to encourage you. I want you to believe God for the very best. I want you to believe God that no matter what's going on around you, that it doesn't have to happen to you. I want you to believe God that no matter what has gone wrong in your situation, God is still with you to deliver you and to help you. I want you to know He is the God of the impossible. You know, the children of Israel, when they were roaming around in the desert, you know, they taunted God. They put God on trial. And they said, well, yeah, God's going to provide for us. Can He prepare a table for us in the wilderness? And they weren't really asking a question. They were making an accusation. Well, God prepared a table for them in the wilderness. He gave them quail until they ate it till they puked and were sick of it. But you know, something so interesting. In the wilderness where Moses smote that rock, and by the way, we know where that rock is, and it's easy to tell, according to recent discoveries, where that rock is, where millions of gallons of water flowed through a rock in the middle of the desert. But what's so phenomenal about that is the psalm says, I would have given them honey from the rock. You know, so many times we are experiencing far less than what God really has in mind for us. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to do that. I don't want to live beneath anything that Jesus died to give me, or that God has promised me, or that God wants to give me. So expect the very best. Keep developing your heart. Let the God of the impossible be the God that you believe in, the God that you serve, and the God that you allow to flow through you.